Glad we can be together, and I'm excited to preach this morning. And, you know, before we go any further, I wanted to say, hey, didn't Pastor Cal do a great job last Sunday, if you were here to hear that? It's always good to have our founding pastor back to come and preach. He preached on how to practice biblical PCR, positive conflict resolution. And if you weren't able to catch that last week, I'd encourage you this week to go online, check it out. I promise you, it will be a blessing to you. Today we continue in our series, Not Like Me, and as we start, I want to ask you to take a moment to reflect on, think about fashion trends that have come and gone that you hope never come back. So what comes to mind? Now, it might be different depending on who you are, depending on what decade you grew up in. Well, what comes to mind? You know, is it, you know, women's shoulder pads? I don't know if those are coming back or not. I'm not necessarily the guy to ask. Men's crop tops. You know, the shirts that come down to like here. Choker necklaces. Guys used to wear puka shell necklaces when I was in high school. Here's a couple that come to mind for me, and I hope we can all agree they should never come back. Low-rise jeans. Now, I won't traumatize you with a picture, but let's just say if your jeans come up to here, that's a trend that should stay in the past. It's early 2000s. And then here's another one that came to mind is the popped collar. Did anybody pop their collar at all? Any guys? I'll show you a picture of that, right, where you take your polo shirt, pop your collar. Now, confession time, that was me in college. I used to pop my collar. In fact, there were a couple of times where I did the double popped collar, meaning I had one polo on and then put another polo of a different color on top of it and popped both collars. And you know what? My wife, Michaela, loved it. Double popped collar. Now listen, fashion trends, they come and go. Okay, but then there are pieces of clothing that stand the test of time and never go out of style. So we could say like, hey, a good pair of jeans, a black t-shirt, leather jacket, a Green Bay Packers jersey. There's just some things that stand the test of time. They're classics. Never go out of style. But when it comes to clothing and fashion, I found this interesting as I've spent time in God's Word, that it isn't just a cultural thing, it's also a biblical thing. Because the Bible actually talks about three different spiritual outfits that never go out of style for the believer. Now, just briefly, I want to show you a couple of these. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 10. Isaiah said this, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with what? Garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness." So the first outfit that the Bible talks about is the garment of salvation. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, he forgives our sin, and he places his righteousness on us. And the Bible talks about it as having like a robe placed on us. So that's one outfit. Here's another outfit, Ephesians 6:10. Many of you will know this. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." This is the second outfit, and it's really the garments of battle, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace, the helmet of salvation. These are the garments of battle. But then there's one other passage, and it's the one we're going to zero in on for today. And I like to think of it as kind of like the believer's everyday wear. Okay, and look at what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3:12 and through verse 14. We'll read the whole thing up front, and then we're going to go back and we'll unpack it. So Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, he says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," and he uses the word clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, and forgive as the Lord forgave you." And then he says, "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And so today, as we continue in our series, Not Like Me, where we're talking about how to successfully navigate differences with almost anyone, and I say almost because some people are certifiably crazy, we are going to talk about how to dress for success in relationships. How to dress for success in relationships. Because the attitudes and the virtues that we clothe ourselves with can either work for us or against us in challenging relationships. So you understand, like if you put on judgmentalism, anger, rage, dishonesty, sarcasm, like we're putting those things on, we're not going to get very far in challenging relationships. So in this passage, I want to show you 5 style tips on how to dress for success in relationships. And understand, I'm not the person giving you style tips. If you ever ask me for fashion, you're going to the wrong guy, okay? The Bible gives us 5 style tips for how to dress for success in relationships. And so let's look at what it has to say to us. Okay, so here's tip number 1 when it comes to dressing for success. You have to start by knowing who you are. Know who you are. You know, how we dress is often an expression of who we are and how we view ourselves. I mean, think about it. The reality is you can tell a lot about a person by what they are wearing. For example, I'm going to show you a few pictures of clothing outfits, and you just shout out if you know what kind of person would wear that. This shouldn't be too hard. Okay, here's the first one. Firefighter. Easy, right? Next one. Chef. You got it. Boom. Another one. Doctor. And then my personal favorite is the last one. I hope you guys can get this one. There you go. Middle-aged dad. There you go. It's the dad outfit. You got the polo. You got to tuck it in. Jean shorts. The belt. The shoes need to be a little bit worse. They couldn't be that up today. They need to be kind of like, you know, old school New Balances there. But and no offense if you're a middle-aged dad. I'm kind of a middle-aged dad. I'm 37 now, so I'm pretty much there. But oftentimes, what we wear can be an expression of who we are. And so Paul, before he talks about our dress, he starts with identity. Because he's like almost saying, hey, how you dress spiritually flows out of who you are. Look back at what he says in Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's, and look at the words he uses, chosen people, holy and loved, clothe yourselves, and he goes on. So before he ever starts talking about how to dress ourselves, he talks about who we are. He says, hey, because you're chosen, because you're holy, because you're dearly loved, dress this way. See, the moment we surrender our lives to Christ, we are a new creation, and this is our new identity, chosen, holy, loved. And if we don't take steps to realign our identity with who God says we are, our old BC identity before Christ will sabotage our lives and our relationships, and it will influence what we put on every day. Like, for example, like our behaviors are often a reflection of our identity. So if we view ourselves as, let's say we have, our identity is that I'm a person who's not good enough. Well, how's it gonna affect our relationships? Well, we're gonna have trouble forming close connections with people because we fear rejection. So we're gonna put on fear. We're gonna keep people at arm's length. But you understand, the behavior is simply the result of a misaligned identity. So you say, how do I realign my identity with Christ? Well, listen, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a journey that many of us are on. It takes time, and it involves identifying events that have wrongly formed our identity, uncovering lies we may have believed. And as Paul says here, aligning ourselves with the truth of what God says about us. This would be a great verse to memorize. Like before you go out the door in the morning, remind yourself, hey, I'm chosen. I'm holy. God says I'm holy. And I'm dearly loved by God. Like before I even came to, before I even came here this morning, I was reminding myself of that, just saying, God, thank you again that I'm chosen and that I'm holy in your eyes and that I'm dearly loved by you. So you got to know who you are. This is where it starts. Here's the next tip he gives us. Tip number two is look in the mirror. Yeah, look in the mirror. I'm willing to guess pretty much every single one of us looked in the mirror today before we left the house. Look back at the passage again because there's one word that's really easy to skip over in this passage. And this one word can make a world of difference in navigating differences with others. So look at it. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Key word here. So key. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice he doesn't say, hey, concern yourself with what others are putting on. Doesn't say, hey, it's your job to be the fashion police and make sure others are clothed with the right attitude and treating you with kindness. Now, listen, we all desire that, but that's not our first concern. He says, hey, your first concern is to make sure you're clothed with these things. Start by paying attention to what you're putting on. And here's a good way to know, I've found, if our focus is on what others are clothing themselves with, okay? It's a phrase we've most likely heard from others. And if we're being honest, I'm willing to bet each of us have probably said or thought this phrase ourselves. You ready? Here's the phrase. Put it on the screen. If they would just fill in the blank. If they would just. Our focus is in the wrong place if we find ourselves saying, thinking, hey, you know, if my spouse would just treat me better, if my kids would just listen the first time, if my employees would just work harder, man, if my boss would just be more open-minded, if my neighbor would stop being so annoying. But listen, when we live with an if they would just type of mindset, here's what we're doing. We're in essence walking around with our magnifying glass and scrutinizing everybody else's faults and shortcomings. It's like, hey, let me see here. Yeah, you know, I see your kids. They're really a problem. They're pretty unruly. But as I'm looking at this, it's really you. Like they're just a reflection of you. You're the parent. Oh man, you're a terrible parent. You're an enabler. Oh man, look at that. You just have a terrible attitude. I don't know what it is about you, but man, your upbringing, who knows? But you ever heard of Get Free at Northwoods? Like you need some freedom. My goodness. But God's word here is saying, hey, put down the magnifying glass and look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. See, the mirror is all about self-examination. It's saying, hey, what am I wearing? You know, what am I putting on? It's actually when you're looking in the mirror, you know, you're saying, hey, are there some things maybe I need to take off? Because Paul said earlier, we didn't look at it, but earlier in this chapter, he said, hey, make sure you take off the things of your old nature. That would be like anger, rage, malice, slander, dishonesty. That's the question, what am I dressed in? And here's how you know if you're looking in the mirror, because that phrase we just talked about will sound a little bit different. It'll sound like this. Instead of if they would just, it'll sound like if I would just. If I would just be more consistent. If I would just have realistic expectations for people. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person that I go around and sometimes I set especially with my kids. Like, I have impossible expectations. And then when they fall short, I'm like, I can't believe you fell short of my expectations. It's like with my two-year-old. I find oftentimes I expect him to act like he's 32 years old. I'm like, what are you crying for? Well, he's two, right? If I would just have, I would think if you would just stop crying, my life would be easier. But maybe if I would just have realistic expectations, if I would just extend grace, if I would just seek to understand. This is where true change actually begins. See, a lot of times we think that we will grow and our relationships will get better when others change. But here's the reality. We grow when we change. So that means, hey, put down the magnifying glass and let's look in the mirror. Paul said, clothe yourself. And this works, I mean, it works wonders in marriages, relationships. Think about your marriage. Oftentimes we walk around thinking like, hey, our focus is on how what they should be doing for us and how they should be doing it differently. But how would it affect your relationship if we just said, you know what, I'm going to focus on what I'm called to do in this relationship and who I'm supposed to be. If we both had that, oh man, things would go so much better. If we're just focused on, hey, what am I wearing today? So Paul says, hey, got to know who you are. Look in the mirror. And then here's tip number three. You got to pick the right outfit. Pick the right outfit. Now, wouldn't it be nice, I've often thought this, if you never had to spend another moment thinking about what to wear ever again. Like, I've oftentimes thought, like, you know, I'm going to go all Steve Jobs, and I'm just going to wear a black shirt and jeans every day for the rest of my life so I don't have to think about it ever again. Like, wouldn't it be nice if there's just like a personal stylist or on standby who literally told you exactly what to wear and you never had to think about it? Some of the men are like, well, yeah, I already got that. That's my wife. That's what she does for me. Well, good news. When it comes to putting together a spiritual outfit, it's not a guessing game. You don't have to spend a whole lot of mental energy on what, you know, what should I put on spiritually? Because the Bible's very clear. The Apostle Paul says, hey, let me take the guesswork out of it. Here's what you should put on every day. So look back at the passage. Clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He lists five garments we should all put on every day. And these garments are timeless, and they never go out of style. They look good on everyone. And to help you visualize this, I want you to think of each of these as a piece of clothing. So the first thing he said is, once you take off the rack, is I want you to put on compassion. I want you to put on compassion. So I think of compassion as kind of like the undershirt, kind of the undergarment, because it's kind of like what you wear closest to the skin. The Bible talks about compassion as kind of a heart thing. In fact, some translations will say, instead of put on compassion, they'll say put on tender hearts or put on tender mercies. Compassion, this is what Paul says to clothe ourselves with. He's saying be sensitive. When he says being compassion, be sensitive to others rather than cold and indifferent. So he says, hey, this is what you start with, this compassion. Let this be the underlying garment. Then he says, hey, the next thing I want you to take off the rack and put on is I want you to put on kindness. Kindness. And I thought of kindness as a white button-up shirt because, again, it's something that works no matter what decade you live in. It's classic, looks good on everybody, never goes out of style. It's a white button-up. Very versatile. And this is how I think of kindness. And I want you to recognize that sometimes, not sometimes, but we just need to be reminded that kindness has impacted the hearts of more people and probably brought more people to Jesus than our judgment and our zeal. The Bible tells us, what does it say? Does it say it's God's wrath that brings us to repentance? Does it say it's his judgment that brings us to repentance? No, it actually says, hey, it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. You know, in her memoir about her journey from being an anti-Christian to a committed Christian, Rosaria Butterfield, who's done a lot of writing, says that as a non-Christian, her impression of evangelical Christians was that they were poor thinkers, judgmental, scornful, and afraid of diversity. And so one day she published a critique of an evangelical Christian group in the local newspaper, and she received an enormous amount of polarizing responses. So she took all these responses, she put one box on the corner of her desk over here and one box on this corner. She says, I'm gonna put all the hate mail on this corner and then put all the fan mail in this corner. So she started dividing it. But then she received a 2-page response from a pastor. And she said it was a kind and inquiring letter. It had a warmth and civility to it in addition to its probing questions. And she said, I couldn't figure out which box to put it in. So it sat on my desk for 7 days right in the middle. And she said it was the kindest letter of opposition that I had ever received. He didn't agree with me, but there was something kind about it. And its tone demonstrated that while he had convictions, he wasn't against me. And eventually she contacted this pastor and became friends with him and his wife. And she said, they talked with me in a way that didn't make me feel erased. And she says, and she has an incredible story, she says, it was their kindness that was the turning point in my faith journey. Think about this. This is someone who was anti. And she says, it was this person's kindness, this family's kindness to me that was the beginning point of my faith journey. That's what kindness does. Kindness melts hostility and division. So Paul says, hey, put on compassion, put on kindness. The next piece he says to put on is humility. And for humility, I chose a blue jacket because, again, humility is not, a blue jacket is not flashy, not a lot of pizzazz, but again, it's timeless. It's something that works no matter what era you live in. It's a navy blue jacket, works. And that's humility. And humility is not, it's really just saying, hey, I'm gonna value others above myself. It doesn't mean we devalue ourselves in the process, because I've always loved the quote by C.S. Lewis, where he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but simply just thinking of yourself less. Why? Because our focus is on others and how we can add value to them and serve them. It's humility. Then the next garment he talks about is gentleness. And I've just added like the navy blue trousers here for gentleness, because these two pieces go together. And so do gentleness and humility. In fact, they're kind of one and the same. In fact, if you look up the word that he used for gentleness there in the Bible, it can also mean humility. And one of the senses it carries with it, gentleness, is something that has lost its edge or its bite. For example, my wife, she grew up with a Brittany Spaniel for a dog, which is a bird hunting dog. They're pointers. And a part of a Brittany's training when they are young includes learning to retrieve a bird without crushing it in their mouth. Because when they're untrained, they'll want to go get that bird and they'll just chomp down on it and they'll damage the meat. So I remember talking with Michaela's dad, my father-in-law, and he was saying, yeah, when we trained this dog, part of the way we trained it is by having it retrieve a frozen bird so that it learns not to bite down. So that the more it does it with that frozen bird, it eventually just goes, and even when it picks up a bird to retrieve that's not frozen, it doesn't bite down anymore, it doesn't chomp down. So you understand the dog still has powerful jaws, but now under the care of that trainer, that power is brought under control and that dog has learned to be gentle. And just as that dog learns to be gentle under the care of its trainer, so when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and His leading, the byproduct in our lives is gentleness. And people won't have to worry about getting bit by our attitude and our words when they're around us. You know, and just in all transparency, this is probably the thing spiritually that I often need to make sure I put on, because I'm like, spiritually, I'm like walking around without my pants on. Because often I can be pretty rough sometimes, like even last night and at dinner. You know, one of my daughters wanted to, you're having family dinner and all I can think about is, I want to go out and play with my friends. And you're like, okay, we're going to sit here because we're going to eat as a family. And she wants to run off. And then, you know, she starts having a little bit of attitude, starts crying about it, whining. And my go-to, just in my flesh, is just to get rough. Like, I don't appreciate your attitude. Why don't you just go back to your room? You don't come down here until you change your attitude and stop crying and whining. Right? I can get real rough. And so again, it just comes back to saying, you know what? I had to go back and just say, you know what, we can talk about, you know what, we're going to eat dinner as a family, but I can own the fact that I can be more gentle in how I talk with you at times. So Paul says, hey, put on gentleness. And again, this is a byproduct of yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and just not acting out in our flesh. Because I don't know about you, but me, in my flesh, I can be rough and not gentle. And so when we yield to the Holy Spirit, gentleness is a byproduct. And then the last thing he talks about, he says, hey, patience. And this is, I think of this as the belt, because a belt is really what kind of holds everything together, right? And patience is kind of what holds us together and keeps us from coming apart when we want to just blow up on people. Now, any of you got anyone that gets on your last nerve and you just want to lash out? All right, we need some patience. And think of it as like, I think of patience, when I think of it, I think of a stick of dynamite with a fuse. When someone is short-tempered, it's like they got a really short fuse. And man, they blow up quick. That can be me at times, but as we yield to the Holy Spirit, he produces patience in us. It's like that fuse gets longer and longer. And the Lord brings about patience, which holds us together in those times we want to just blow up on people. So listen, this is the right outfit. It's what Paul talks about: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. But then he continues. He says, there's two more style tips I want to give you. Here's tip number four. You have to excuse fashion faux pas. Excuse fashion faux pas. You know, the Bible makes the case that others, even believers, aren't always going to be wearing their Sunday best. Now, there'll be times, as there are with us, when, you know, we forget our belt, wear something that ain't been washed in a while, what we're wearing stinks. And when that happens, what should be our response? Look at the very next verse, verse 13. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, that word right there, bear with each other, it really means to put up with. It means to put up with people. Again, you got any people like that in your life? Just like, man, people you got to put up with. Irritating, frustrating, annoying? Sure you do, because we all do. Now, I want to be very clear here. There's a little caveat. We're talking about putting up with people. The context here we're talking about is differences. We're not talking about when someone is demonstrating damaging behavior or abusive behavior. No, you shouldn't put up with someone abusing you or damaging, disrespectful behavior. What we're talking about are differences. These are the things that just get on our nerves. Like, for example, one of the things that my wife and I often joke about is I usually run cold and she runs like 105 degrees at all times. Like, she's always hot. So like even this past week, you know, there was a day when I think it was Wednesday. It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. And so it was like, you know, a high of 55. And so we go upstairs the night and I'm like ready to go. I'm like freezing, getting ready for bed. And Mikhail's got the fan on full blast overhead. And I'm like, what is going on? It's freezing in this house. And she's like, well, I'm burning hot. I'm just like, man, what in the world is going on, right? But it's differences. We've just learned that, hey, she runs hot, that's okay. I run cold, that's okay. We kind of, in a sense, put up with that about each other. It's okay. There's little differences. And so we all could say we need to be reminded of this verse because we all have people in our lives that we have to kind of put up with differences. We all have irritating people in our lives. You can say, you know, my crazy neighbor, clowns I work with. Sounds like you have a few. But while we need this verse for others, I've also found it's helpful to remember that there's probably someone else out there who needs this verse for me. Because to them, I'm irritating and I'm frustrating and maybe a little annoying at times. And you know what? They put up with me. So he says, hey, you got to bear with people. He says also, forgive one another. We've talked about this pretty much every week of this series because it's foundational to navigating relationships. You will never have a healthy relationship without it. Of course, sometimes it's hard to forgive. We struggle to forgive. Don't always want to do it. This is why Paul reminds us, hey, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Starting point of forgiveness is always recognizing that, hold up, when I don't want to forgive, I have been the recipient of forgiveness from the Lord. And therefore, I should extend and respond to others in forgiveness. And then here's the last tip he gives us. Tip number 5, I just put it like this, don't forget your shoes. Don't forget your shoes. You know, if you have young kids, you've probably said this phrase many times. Don't forget your shoes. Like you ever have, if you have young kids, you ever run an errand before, you get everybody in the car, you get there and then you find out one of your kids is still barefoot. Like, what are you doing? This is what my brother Nathan used to do. I can remember many times being in the car as a kid and Nathan, we get to the grocery store, forgot his shoes, he's barefoot. And my mom, she happened to just walk to the grocery store. Nathan's walking barefoot to the grocery store. Like, who is this kid? I don't know who he is. I joke about it with him. But what do shoes have to do with what we're talking about? Look at verse 14. I'll tell you in a minute. Paul said, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, this week I talked with a friend who's a personal stylist. And I said, hey, I asked her, like, what's the one part of an outfit that brings the whole thing together? And she said, well, you know, it could be this, this. Then she said, oftentimes, it's the shoes. I was like, okay, who knew? It's the shoes. Shoes can make or break an outfit. In the same way, shoes bring the outfit together. So love not only brings the entire wardrobe together, but it also brings people together. And this ties in with how the Apostle Paul talked about love elsewhere in the book of Ephesians, when he said, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk, that word walk, walk in the way of love. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Love is what brings it all together. In fact, I'm just thinking about it right now, but I don't have this on the screen, but many of you know, 1 Corinthians 13. What did Paul also say? He said, hey, I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is what brings it all together. Again, it's like our shoes. We're to walk in love. And I want to just say here, walking in love means also there might be times where you speak the truth, but remember, we do it in love. So as we're talking about navigating differences, there might be times where you have to speak hard truth to people, but again, make sure you got your shoes on. Make sure you're doing it in love. And notice that when Paul talks about walking in love, he reminds us that Christ first loved us. He did that with forgiveness. He said, hey, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And then he says, love just as Christ loved you. Why does he do that? Because when we recognize Christ's love for us and our affections are grabbed by him, it'll change us from the inside out. You know, I once listened to a smoker tell his story of how he changed. He said that for many years he was a chain smoker. He loved it, would smoke a couple packs a day, loved smoking with his coffee after a good steak, before church. And he said, I always would constantly see ad campaigns for the consequences of smoking, you know, black lungs, rotting teeth, people speaking and breathing through tubes in their throat. But he said, hey, none of that had any effect on me. But then one day, he met a young lady who eventually became his wife. And she wasn't a huge fan of the smell of smoke. And he said, as my love for her grew, my love for her became greater than my love for smoking. And eventually I quit. And I've heard that story. I just thought, you know what? That's the point is this, that we often won't change until our affections are grabbed by something greater. So when it comes to loving others, instead of just saying, I got to put my shoes on today and just love a bunch of crazy people, we'd be better to start the day before we walk out the door by reflecting on Christ's love for us. Remember, Paul started by saying, hey, you're chosen, you're holy, and what? You're dearly loved. Dearly loved. And I've just found when that love begins to move from a head knowledge to a heart understanding that you're dearly loved by the Lord and your affections are grabbed by him, love just becomes the byproduct of your life. And over time, you find that you tend to walk in love towards others because you're just so enamored and caught up in the Lord's love for you. So we've talked about several style tips, right? Know who you are. Look in the mirror. Put on the right outfit. Excuse fashion faux pas and don't forget your shoes. So in closing, I just want to ask you a question. Are you dressed for success in relationships? Was that a yep or a nope? Are you dressed for success in relationships? You know, there might be some things that as you're listening to God's word this morning, you say, you know what? There's some things that I'm wearing that weren't in that list. There might be some things that I need to take off. Probably reality for all of us. So I want to invite you to stand as we close. And let's just spend a moment. This is just you and the Lord. And let's just have this be this is just kind of a look in the mirror moment, just you and the Holy Spirit right now. Because the Holy Spirit's the one who searches us, searches our hearts. So you might just ask him right now, just with every head bowed, just you and the Lord, you just say, Holy Spirit, would you help me to see how I'm dressed, spiritually speaking? Would you help me to see what I'm wearing today? And Lord, if there's anything that's not of you, but I choose to take it off and put on kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. Lord, I thank you for your word and how you often direct your word to the exact place of need in our hearts. So, Lord, I pray when it comes to navigating relationships, families, friends in this church, people we interact with, Holy Spirit, I pray you would help us to be clothed in what your word tells us to put on. And Lord, I thank you that it's not a striving that we have to like work hard at this, that yes, there is work involved, but I thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we yield to you, these traits we've talked about will be the byproduct. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to just stay connected with you, keep our hearts sensitive to your leading, so that in every moment we're yielded to you. I pray you would produce good fruit, Lord, in each of our lives. And Lord, I pray that your hand would rest on every person today as we leave this place. I pray blessing over your people. And it's in the mighty and matchless and all-powerful name of Jesus we prayed. Everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. Amen. Come on, you're dressed for success. You're looking good. Church, I love you. Thanks so much for being here today. Hey, if you need prayer for anything, the prayer team will be down front. We would love to pray with you. Doesn't matter what you need to pray about. We'd love to be here with you and stand with you in prayer. Hope you have a great Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next week.